Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Should his approval rating be tied to this? Are these things under his control?
It's not Biden's fault. And to the same idea, Biden has relatively little that he can do about it.
You live in this ridiculous candy-colored fantasy land.
We are laughing.
Wait till you see President Biden's poll numbers when we hit February or March, and then it all sinks in. The credit card bills from Christmas, and then obviously the heating bills for your home or for your gas. This is not going away anytime soon, and for the media to try to make excuses for it, let's put it this way. Under the 45th president, I am certain we wouldn't see headlines like that.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Wow. Oh, hold on. My phone's ringing. Just a second. Oh, my gosh. Look at who's calling. Oh, hello. Hello, Mr.
Hello,
President.
Al.
Hello. Hello. Stupid cordless phone. How you doing, Gertie?
After 2 years, you're back. America's back.
Well, now I don't even feel like pie.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Taylor Cormier, Howie's executive producer, filling in for the big guy as he is just taking a couple of days off and enjoying his, I believe, his family in Palm Beach. Very nice place to enjoy anything. So he'll be back on Monday, back at the studios in sunny South Florida. 844-500-4242. Much more to get to this hour, and I do have a couple of bones to pick as well, and I'd love your input. This is Christmas-related, gift-giving-related. I think I'm at one of those seasons in life where something changes. You're not exactly sure. Do you do it delicately? Do you rip the Band-Aid off? I guess I'll just get into it right now, because I feel like maybe a lot of people are dealing with this, or maybe have dealt with this in the past and have addressed it with their family and have come to a conclusion. I'm ready to say to my immediate family, no more gifts. No more gifts between each other. And it's not a money thing. It's not, I can't think of anything to get anybody or anything like that. But what it's come down to is this exchange of gift cards. Listen, there are some instances when it's okay. For instance, we have specialized interests. I really enjoy my records and anything to do with hi-fi. So a gift card to my local record store, that's a thoughtful, meaningful gift that I consider, and I appreciate it because that person acknowledges I have a certain interest in something, and they're going to try to facilitate that and promote it. So some thought went into that. But I don't know. Gift cards to big box stores, to me, just it feels like I didn't put any thought into this. You decide. And I get it. My parents, my sibling, we all live in different states now, really. We're not around each other. We're not entangled in each other's lives as we were when we were living closer together. And I imagine that this has happened to a lot of people. You're not as day-to-day with one another. You don't know what this person's needs are from one day to the next or what they could really, what might really help them out in life. So it comes down to the, you throw up your hands and you put up the gift card. But I'm trapped in this like four-way, let's put in, so many dollars for this person's gift card and then we've got another pool over here for this person's gift card to this other thing. And I'm just ready to say, can we all just keep our money to ourselves? I hate to be a Grinch about it. I do. And I recognize how crotchety I sound. But it's...
Get off my lawn.
Exactly. I'm the old man, and I think I'm at the point where... And I've been at this point for a while where Christmas is not about the gifts for me. It never has been. I like gift giving. I would say a very thoughtful gift giver. I try to put a lot of effort. If I'm giving you something, it's because I know, or I've got a very strong feeling that you are going to love what I'm about to give you. It may not be much, but I think that you're going to like it. And so I try to put a lot of thought into what I give. And I hope that people do that with me. But again, it's not about that for me anymore. I would just like to enjoy each other's company because we're not able to do that anymore. So do I broach the subject? And is this the year I finally say, look, let's just not even worry about it. Why go through the stress? Because then there's the communication hassle. Oh, I need that money by this time for this gift card. Or, it's back and forth. And you forget, like, by the time Christmas comes around, you have no idea what you got the person, no idea what this gift card is to. And this is from all of us. Okay, thanks. I don't know. That's just my feeling on it. If you've dealt with that and you've dealt with it in-house, you've taken care of that issue, love to hear from you, 844-500-4242. Or if you've got an alternate solution, because then some people, and this is not something I'm concerned about, but some people, they might feel shortchanged. They put into this gift card a little bit more money than you put into theirs. So, I give you a $30 gift card, but you're only giving me a $20 gift card. They feel shortchanged. I don't know. It's one of those things. It just adds to the frustration of the season, which it's not supposed to be about that, and it adds further my disdain to the marketing of Christmas and the, I love capitalism, but capitalism and Christmas, that's not what the holiday's about. Debbie, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Debbie.
Good blessings and good evening, Mr. Producer.
Thank you very much.
I didn't catch your name, and I am so excited because Howie is my idol. He's like, we need a statue of Howie somewhere, you know.
Oh, don't let him hear that.
Oh, yes, he has to hear it. He has to, because one day him and I have to have coffee, and we have to drink lots of coffee, and then he has to try some edibles, the One Love Free Natural Healing Main Chapter edibles that I'm going to produce mass quantity.
I don't know. I want to see Howie on edibles. But go ahead, Debbie. What's up?
Oh, yeah. No, we have cannabis in our brains. But anyways, we're going to talk about sharing is caring. You were saying about gift cards and stuff, and it kind of struck a chord with me. The holidays are very... You know, I'm out in the stores now and I'm seeing holiday, Christmas. I'm like, we haven't got through Thanksgiving, you know. But it would be nice if getting a gift card and giving it to a homeless person or somebody that's having a hard time or something, a coffee card or, you know, it depends on your income that you can, you know, what
right.
you can share. You know, or you could get them a hotel room or you could, you know, I don't know, something fun. Take them to the Howie Carr Show. That would be wonderful. The whole audience of homeless people. Oh, my God, I just had a brainstorm. Howie, I love you.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Debbie. And if we don't talk to you, Merry Christmas. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Ron, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Ron.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, you bring that up, and we started that a couple years ago. Because we'd always give each other the same old gift card to a different restaurant. And it'd be like, hey, I just gave you this, and now you're giving me one back.
So what'd you do about it?
We just stopped giving each other gifts. I just buy stuff for the nieces and nephews, the kids. My brothers, they don't need nothing from me.
Yeah, and nobody had any hard feelings over it?
No, they brought it up. I agreed with it. Instead of running out on the 24th of December looking for a restaurant to buy a gift card.
Yeah.
And you get it. It's got that date on it. Oh, yeah, you really... Really took a lot of thought to get
oh,
that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Well, that's great, Ron. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. 844-500-4242. And again, it's not like I don't want to give somebody something. I'm not trying to withhold any amount of generosity or anything. But
no, but it's almost the giving a gift for the sake of giving a gift.
That's what it feels like.
And
it feels like this empty exchange sometimes. Yeah. I'm not saying all
I'm
the time.
I'm obligated to get something for you, so here
right.
is this generic card.
And I'm not saying that the thought isn't there for any of these gift cards. Like, oftentimes, more often than not, I'd say, you know, it's an equal transaction for... You know, you're giving me something to spend at, you know, my vinyl record store, or I'm giving you something to spend at your hair salon, whatever it is, you know, it's somebody's favorite place and you're allocating, you're saying, okay, this is your money. You can, this has been allocated for you to spend at this place and you can't spend it anywhere else. So I'm forcing you to have a good time. But at the same time, we're just feel like we're just trading money. And again, maybe I'm all wrong. Maybe I'm just being a grumpy old Grinch about it. But there could be other people out there that have the same thought and have done something about it. And I like the idea that Debbie had, you know, maybe pooling those resources and doing something good for other people outside of the family, people that are less fortunate than ourselves. And I think that's not a bad idea. Kevin, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing great. And Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
One of the best gifts I ever got, and I'm 55, so I've had a few gifts over the years, but my twin brother and I, we never had much money when we were younger. So we would go, we'd get enough money to get in the car, and we drive over to the Super Walmart in Prescott, Maine. Do you know where Prescott, Maine is?
That is way up there. I do have some old college friends from Prescott.
Yeah, we'd go up there, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts in there, and I would buy him a coffee of his liking, and he would buy me a coffee of my liking, and we'd sit in those benches by the cash registers, and we'd sit there and sip our coffee, and of course we'd see friends and people we knew. But we'd watch people rack up credit cards,
mm-hmm.
and the cashiers were stressed straight out, and the kids were screeching and carrying on, and all the stress. And my brother Keith and I would sit there, we'd drink our coffee, and we'd just laugh at these people because they were racking up credit cards. It was going to take them all year to pay it off. And I don't know, my twin brother and I, maybe his sixth sense of humor, but we got the greatest joy out of watching these people just rack up them credit cards.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also sad in a way. I mean, you're watching people, and you don't know what everybody's financial situation is. But, you know, I sit there and I see people going in and out of stores and malls, and it's kind of sad to me because this is a time of year when, I don't know, it's a pressure on people to kind of go into debt to prove that they love other people. And that's not what it's about for me. And I don't see a reason to continue gift giving. You know, and I look at my parents as examples. When I was a kid, I don't remember really them exchanging gifts with their adult contemporaries, their siblings. There may have been a small token of you know, here, I thought of this, you know, I got this for you, thought of you, it's nothing, but you know, it wasn't anything big. There was no pressure to it. And, I don't know, just think I'm kind of at that season in life. We'll get to more of your calls after the break. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network. He tells it like it is.
I want you to know that every human being that works for you knows what a diseased hypocrite you are. We all know what you are.
Howie Carr.
So Joe Biden's Black Friday shopping on Nantucket. I hope he's not getting gift cards for people. But he did say that he took his mask off when he walked up to the press to talk to them, and then he coughed directly into his hand. This guy has learned nothing from the pandemic. Nothing.
Come on, man.
All right. Today's thank you. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Kathy Ireland Gem Spa Jewelry Cleaning System. The Kathy Ireland Gem Spa will clean your jewelry better than a jewelry store. Save $20 and get free shipping by going to bellmans.com/grace. That's Bellmans, bellmans.com/grace. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
When do you start listening to Christmas music? Before Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, or not until December?
Not until December.
Not until December, holding at 73%, day after Thanksgiving at 17%, and before Thanksgiving is up to 10% now.
I've got people that I know that even though it's well into December, they will avoid listening to Christmas music until they get to December 12th or 13th, and they do the 12 days of Christmas. So it's a week and a half, which is good. And the problem with a lot of Christmas music is if you're listening on terrestrial radio, you're not getting a good mix. You're getting the same five songs with eight different versions of each song for over a month, and it's very tiresome. 844-500-4242, talking gift giving, you know, trying to wean the family off the gift cards, possibly. It's, again, it's not that I'm ungrateful or anything like that. It's just, Christmas is supposed to be about so much more, I believe. And I believe a lot of other people feel that way as well. Let's go to the phone lines. Daniel, thanks for hanging on. You're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, happy Good Friday or Black Friday, whatever they call it. I think gift cards are overrated, and they're like receiving an EBT card. But in our neighborhood, on December 12th, we're having a Christmas block party where we raise money for the fire department, collect toys for Tot, and hopefully fill two 15-passenger vans up for clothes and for the homeless vets and the homeless in our city.
Oh, that's great. Give it a quick plug. Where is it?
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Oh, awesome. Is there somewhere where people can learn more if they want to chip in?
Holt Ave, on our Facebook page, Holt Ave Community. And our summer block party raised $1,200 for the Mounted Police. And this time we're hoping to raise over $1,000 for our fire department.
Great. Awesome.
And
good work.
And two 15-passenger vans of clothes for the homeless.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Daniel. Good luck. God bless you. Thank you. Mike, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello. Going back to when you were talking about you were going to have Dino Martin on today there, and you were mentioning that you had read a couple of books about there, and then there was one other book I'm surprised you didn't mention there, and that was the Nick Tosh's book.
What's the name of that one?
Oh, you don't know that one. Yeah, that came out. First of all, as one of the great titles for a biography. It's called Dino, Living High in the Dirty Business of Dreams.
I think I have heard of that one. In fact, I believe it was mentioned in the documentary that just came out.
The King of Cool one there. I did not hear any mention of the Nick Tosh's book. I know the Jerry Lewis book was
this kind of one of those tell-all books like Kitty Kelly wrote the My Way about Frank Sinatra. Was this the Dean Martin version?
Yeah, I mean this came out like a couple of years before Dean Martin had died.
Yeah,
and Tosh's was a novelist. He was a journalist, and this one was a little more
salacious.
Was a little more darker than the other ones. It was getting into like extramarital affairs. It was getting his dealings with the mob. And stuff like that there. So I mean I'm sure Dina Martin would not want to talk about that particular book if you were talking to her.
Well, if you've read her book too, and I don't want to get too much into this, but if you've read her book, she's fairly honest about her father's extramarital affairs and her mother's her birth mother's alcoholism and dependence on drugs and a lot of that. And the mob's no secret either. I mean, he had to get out of Steubenville, Ohio somehow. The mob helped him. Thanks very much for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
So Joe Biden, I guess, was able to get away from David Rubenstein's $22.5 million mansion. Found his way in downtown Nantucket today. Black Friday shopping, and no word on if he outspent Kamala Harris in her little Parisian boutique where she spent over $500 on cookware.
Was that the American Rescue Pan?
The American Rescue Pan. Well, this was the French Rescue Pan that Kamala bought. She couldn't be bothered to buy American, which is what Joe's been pushing. That's the administration's signaling is to buy American, even though you're going to be a xenophobe and a racist if you promote such a mission. But Joe Biden was in downtown Nantucket today, and the hapless president ran into the hapless press, and I guess he was forced to answer a few questions, but he also ran into an 8-year-old girl or something. I don't know how old she is, but
yeah, she definitely was under 10.
Her name is Ellie.
L.
How do you spell that?
E-L-L-E.
I think that's L-E.
You're I've Ellie.
I've never heard of pronounced L. Ellie, I think. But let's hear what Creepy Joe had to say to L or Ellie.
How are you? I'm your reindeer back there. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Nice to see you guys.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for coming.
There's a reindeer back there, he said.
Yeah.
What? Was he talking to the girl or was he trying to pull one over on the press? Hey, look at the reindeer. And he runs away without answering any questions.
Well, you know, Morgan News, we know how Joe always goes back to stories. Matt just found this clip. This old gem, this old chestnut.
Oh, boy.
Pitching to win, how do you feel about being 47? It's the boy says, that's not how I look at age. How do you look at it? Look at this thing. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? 45.
27.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
You hit a winner, too.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Who was he talking to?
I don't know who he was talking to, but that was the Satchel Paige.
The Satchel Paige story, right.
Sans the N-word.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for omitting that. But who cares? Like, quoting, I mean, the only athlete worth quoting is Yogi Berra. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. It's not over till the fat lady sings. All of these great quotes. He's the only guy worth quoting. Satchel Paige. What is the relevancy of that story, even? It's not even a good story. There's, I'd say it's slightly better than his Valentine's Day story, but that's a very low bar.
It's more concise, at least.
Oh, speaking of reindeer, this is part of the supply chain crisis. There is a Santa shortage in America this year. Last year, I don't think we had too many Santa's helpers around because everything was closed. You couldn't go anywhere. But this year, it may be more difficult to get FaceTime with the big guy in red, and it all has to do with the labor shortage and health and safety concerns born out of the COVID-19 pandemic. I think it does have a little bit to do with the COVID-19 because, you know, typically guys playing Santa's helper are older, real beards. In most cases.
Yeah, bring those jobs back, Joe.
And so they may be a little bit more worried or concerned about COVID-19, and especially after today's news with the Unicron variant.
I am Unicron.
Many malls and stores are still struggling to find Santas, leaving parents to explain why Santa Claus is not coming to town. The reasons can be traced to the U.S. labor shortage. This is NBC, the Today Show, put this out. Mitch Allen, the head of Hire Santa, said that he's never seen a demand or shortage of Santas of this magnitude. While demand for Santas has surged more than 120%, you know, more stores, more malls, shopping centers are open and accepting visitors to Santa Claus this time of year, the number of available Kris Kringles has dropped by double digits as well. He says Santa Claus entertainers are at high risk for negative consequences if they catch COVID. Some families are actually making reservations weeks in advance. So if you do manage to get a time slot with Santa Claus, you're probably going to have to jump through some COVID hoops in order to meet with him. Santas are vaccinated. Santa does have to apply, you know, adhere to the vaccine mandate.
Instead of a thumb of his nose, it's a swab of his nose. It goes up the chimney.
And kids can sit 6 feet away or next to him, but not on his knee. That's verboten. You can't sit on Santa's knee. You got a lot of explaining to do. I mean, if you're a parent of a young child, and this child naturally believes in Santa Claus, they have questions already. How come there's a Santa here? I just saw a Santa on the corner. Then you go through the whole Santa's helper explanation, right? Santa has a lot of people that, you know, he has gifted to look just like him, and they're his representatives. But how do you explain that, yet all these Santas have to take the proper precautions? Aren't they magical, too? I thought Santa's helpers were magical.
Santa's emissaries are stuck on a boat off of Port of San Diego right now.
Masks are required for those over 2 years old. In some cases, masks can come off for pictures, but that is up to the customer. So again, you can thank Joe Biden for the Santa supply chain crisis. 844-500-4242. 774, back to the topic we were discussing before the break. Taylor, I hate gift cards. It's so impersonable. And like you couldn't think of a good gift for someone. I mean, that's... See, I'm a victim of... I have very specific tastes. And I know people in my family have very specific tastes. So if you know, say somebody went into a record store, they don't know what I want or what I already have. I mean, I have a collection of almost 1,000 records. Chances are I probably have something. If you're thinking of the artists that I like, I might already have that. So getting a gift card to a place like that would be the best outcome in a situation where you're buying somebody a gift card. So I don't agree that it's always impersonable. But some other texters, 913 says, my family stopped exchanging Christmas gifts among the grown-ups years ago. Best thing we ever did. We do still bring small gifts for the little ones, the kids. 860 Taylor, a guy once said years ago that Christmas is for kids and cops. And that would have been Whitey Bulger that said that. And it's on a recording somewhere that... the U.S. federal government has in its possession. Ray, thanks for hanging on. You're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Ray.
How are you, Taylor?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good job. Doing a good job here.
Thanks.
Hey, I have a couple of suggestions, just two suggestions that what we've been doing for Christmas.
Yeah, let me have them.
Like the adults. Yeah, and there's a place in Chicago, it's called Mercy Home. And they take kids in off the street, and God knows in that neighborhood, but a lot of the shootings going on, they do everything they can to bring kids in and get them out of abusive situations, and they house them, they feed them, they give them Christmas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And another place out in Omaha, Nebraska is Boys Town, and they do a lot. So what we do is we go to the post office, and we buy a money order, whatever, you know, amount you want to do, and... And the reason I'm saying the post office is because they give you the receipt. The top of it is the receipt on a money order from the post office. So we make a money order out to, say, Boys Town in Omaha, Nebraska, or Mercy Home in Chicago. And believe me, they do wonders with these kids. And so then you fill it out, and you put whoever you would have given the gift to, you put their name on it, and it's a donation for that. And then the top part you have, you can put it in a Christmas card and give it to them and say, I made a donation to... you know, Boys Town or Mercy Home in your name. And that way they know they've been appreciated.
Right, right.
And the money goes to a fantastic cause, you know?
Yeah, and Ray, you just jogged my memory too, and also a good idea, so I thank you for it. They used to have, in some places, I forget where, but maybe the post office, they used to have Christmas trees, and on the trees would be these ornaments, but on the back of the ornaments, they were just paper flat ornaments. There'd be a name of a child and their Christmas gift wish that year and approximately how much that would cost. And you could take that and you would buy them the Christmas gift and bring it back to the post office and they'd send it to the kid. I believe that's how it worked. I'll have to look it up, but I think that might be a good way to go. Rather, because, you know, we're at the stage in our lives, we're all grown adults. We don't need more clutter in our houses. I'm at the point in my life, and my wife says it more than I do, but we've got to declutter our house. She wants to go minimalist on me, so I'm trying to protect some of my treasured, useless items. Thanks very much for the call, Ray. Jim, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Tyler.
You had it right the first time. I always go with your first instinct. It's Taylor.
I am so sorry.
That's all right. No worries. Dealt with it all my life.
I'm an old man. Anyway, one of the things our family did was we'll put everybody's name in a hat on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's name you pick out of the hat is the one that you have to buy a gift for. And whether it's one year I made a table, a log table with a chessboard set on it.
Oh, wow.
Bought him the pieces. But anyway, So that's what we do, and if somebody can't make it to Thanksgiving, somebody else picks the name for that person. So everybody gets a gift. It's just you only have to buy one gift, and everybody gets a gift. So.
Right, right. We did that. I think we've done that the past 2 years. We skipped out on it for this year for some reason. I'm not sure why, but, you know, it's good in practice in theory, but I think, you know, sometimes people thought it was fixed. I believe my father and I, we got each other the same 2 years in a row.
That happened to me with a Secret Santa one time in seventh grade. I picked the name out of the hat. He picked my name. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
That happened at least once where we picked each other's name and people said, well, come on. This is, the fix is in. Thanks very much for the call, Jim. 844-500-4242. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back to wrap things up on this Friday evening. Right after Thanksgiving, I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
It's his show, and he knows how to use it.
You turn on my phone. You ask me if you would... I am paying for this microphone, Mr.
Howie Carr returns after this.
That's the Democratic Party for you.
I've written to Washington about it.
What do you want to write to Washington for? She's dead.
Howie Carr is back.
I'm known nationally and internationally as Joe Biden's husband.
I can't believe he still gets a laugh off of that stolen joke from JFK. He would always come out and say, I'm Jackie's husband. And Joe co-opted that from him and gets a laugh. I don't get it. President, he gets a failing grade, obviously. But comedian, I think the argument could be made he's even worse. He cannot deliver a punchline at all.
Kamala's, you're one worse pony.
Kamala's even worse than that. And Jen Psaki, I think, is worse than both of them. She it's like she's a space alien that watched a, I don't know, who's a really hacky comedian, watched a Carrot Top special, and now she thinks she's Carrot Top. That's why she has the red hair. 844-500-4242. I'm sorry I didn't get to this story earlier in the show because it is important, and I printed it out because I thought it was important, but all of this talk today about the Unicron variant and the...
Unicron.
And the travel ban that xenophobe racist-in-chief Joe Biden is putting into place that affects, you know, heavily black and brown people from South Africa from coming to the United States. This is another big story that concerns all of this and really again highlights his lack of action on our southern border. A Biden administration's purported plan to impose another COVID-19 vaccine mandate is prompting derision on social media. I would say it's prompting derision elsewhere. This is out of BizPak Review. Effective January 22nd, 2022, President Biden, by the way, I can't wait till we get to the year 2022 because you know Joe Biden is not going to have a very easy time saying 2022. President Biden will require essential non-resident travelers crossing U.S. land borders, such as truck drivers, government and emergency response officials, to be fully vaccinated, according to what an unidentified senior administration official told the Associated Press. The rules pertain to non-U.S. nationals. So that means any truck driver delivering goods to or from Canada and the United States or the United States and Mexico will have to be vaccinated. Now, we've already got a supply chain crisis and a lack of truck drivers as it is, because when OSHA put in their mandate and they wanted to, when Joe Biden wanted every company with more than 100 employees to get vaccinated, a lot of these trucking companies had to force this vaccine mandate upon their drivers, and they lost a lot of drivers in the double digits because of it. And they're going to tighten the squeeze even more and aim this specifically at truck drivers. A spokeswoman for a trucking industry group told the AP that this latest presidential edict exemplifies how unnecessary government mandates can force experienced owner-operators and independent truckers out of business. These requirements are another example of how impractical regulations will send safe drivers off the road. And again, what is the point? What does it matter if a truck driver is vaccinated or not? If you're taking a trip, across the country, I guess right now, do you have to have a vaccine if you're flying out of the country? I think it's only in some specific nations where they're requiring it. But what does it matter? It's just lines on a map. It's not like they have a worse strain of COVID there that you're going to catch and bring to America.
So you have to be vaccinated to drive, smuggle a bunch of unvaccinated people over the border in Mexico.
That's exactly right, Jared. I'm glad we're on the same page. That's science in a nutshell. Justin Trudeau similarly is imposing on January 15th a similar mandate. Will require truck drivers, both Americans and Canadians, to be double vaccinated against the COVID-19 virus when entering that country, heavy-duty trucking reported. So it's like in A Christmas Story, you know, you have the dare, then you have the double dog dare, then the coup de grace of them all, the triple dog dare. This is the coup de grace almost of vaccinations. 844-500-4242. I just can't imagine what good this is going to do. And they expect, again, another 10 to 20% dropout of truck drivers that or 40% of truck drivers will start that are in the going back and forth between the borders business are going to drop out. They're going to quit. More supply chain issues brought to you by Joe Biden. Have a great weekend, everybody. Howie's back on Monday on the Howie Carr Show.
Marvelous. It's Unicron. Protect.